Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, Primer for the Sighted, was written by Erwin Gonshack and is presented in observance of Brotherhood Week.
May I help you, Father?
Yes. Is this J Street?
Yes, it is. Which house are you looking for, Father?
1613.
Oh, it's just down the block. I'll show you exactly where it is.
Well, thank you.
Oh, sure. Well, who are you going to see, Father?
A Mr. Louis Greenberg.
The saints preserve us.
Why is that?
Well, first I must discover if my ears hear right. Father, you did say Louis Greenberg.
Yes, I did.
Father, I don't want you to think I'm a busybody, but why may you be wanting to see the old man?
Well, why else, my good lady, but to give him instruction.
Glory be to heaven. The age of miracles is still with us.
I wouldn't be surprised if you were right.
Oh, well, Father, I won't be keeping you now from God's work. His apartment is on the second floor of this building, just the first one to your right.
Thank you very much.
Father, I'm going to say a special prayer for good luck.
Well, thank you. I may need it.
Yes?
Mr. Greenberg?
Yes, I am Greenberg.
My name is Father Sutcliffe.
Yes, yes, of course, from the Institute.
That's right.
Please, please, come in.
Well, thank you.
Here, the chair. The chair. 30 years in this apartment, now I can't even find a chair. Do you see it, Father?
No, I'm afraid I don't.
You're blind, too?
Yes.
Oh. Oh, Father, I found the chair.
Oh.
Please sit.
Thank you.
I'll sit here at this side of the table.
All right. That will be fine.
Now, are we ready to start the lessons?
If you are, Mr. Greenberg, I am.
You have the Bible with you.
Yes, I do.
Father Sutcliffe, I tell you, I almost gave up hope. I didn't think it possible to go blind in my old age. The Torah, the prayer book closed forever to me. And now, God willing, through your help, the pages will be opened again.
Father.
Ah, good morning, Mrs. Jackson.
I'm walking your way, Father Sutcliffe.
That's fine.
And how, may I ask, are the lessons coming with Mr. Greenberg?
Oh, he's an excellent student, Mrs. Jackson.
My, my, my. And how much longer do you think it will be, Father?
Not much longer.
And then, Father, I mean, well, what will happen next?
Well, he'll be able to read the Old Testament and the Jewish prayer book in Hebrew Braille.
Father, I thought, weren't you...
What, Mrs. Jackson?
Oh, nothing, Father, nothing. Here's Mr. Greenberg's house.
Mm-hmm.
Goodbye, Mrs. Jackson.
Good day to you, Father. An Episcopalian priest... teaching an old Jewish gentleman to read Hebrew Braille. What is one to make of it?
Well, Mr. Greenberg, where would you like to begin today?
Well, tomorrow is Purim, so first let's drink some tea and eat some hamantash.
And read, perhaps, from the Book of Esther?
You know, Father, if I may say so, you do know a lot about the Jews and our customs.
Well, thank you for the compliment.
I asked my wife why this is so. Her answer is, what's such a mystery? He studies.
And your wife is right.
But why?
Oh, for some very important reasons.
Look, Father Sutcliffe, if you asked me why I wanted to learn to read Hebrew Braille, my answer would be very simple. I want to participate fully in the synagogue prayer on the Sabbath, the high holy days, the festivals, the daily services in the company of my fellow worshippers. That would be my answer. You understand?
Oh, yes.
But why did you want to read Hebrew Braille and teach it, too? And you tell me some very important reasons. All right, I'll accept that. But I still don't understand.
Well, it would take a little explaining.
Have you some time now?
Yes.
Well, there's plenty of tea in Omentashen, so begin.
Well, where should I begin?
Okay, if you ask me where I should begin, what brought me to the study of the Torah, I would tell you about the old country, the synagogue services, and my father.
All right, then. I'll begin with a small town in the Bible Belt of Pennsylvania. The church services. And my father.
So, son, the angel of the Lord stayed Abraham's hand, and the little boy Isaac was saved. And in the thickets, Abraham found a ram, which he used instead for the offering. And no longer would human sacrifice be part of the religious rites. Now, did you understand the story, Sonny?
Yes, Daddy.
And do you know why I tell you these stories from the Bible?
Because they're interesting, and because they're good for me.
And also because in each story you can see the hand of God at work.
Yes, Daddy.
Sonny, you should never be frightened. Never. Because wherever you go, you should know that God goes with you.
I'll remember.
All through life, a person goes from one place to another, from here to there. And sometimes these few steps take courage, sometimes great courage.
I'm afraid when I'm not in the house that a car will speed out of nowhere and hit me to the ground, or that I'll find myself in a strange part of town and become lost. There'll be no one to show me how to go home.
We all have these fears. Even we who can see have them, but in different forms. We fear what we don't understand. So we must spend our life breaking down these barriers of ignorance. But always, son, always God is with us, helping us.
Daddy, when will God help me see?
It depends on what you mean. If you mean with your eyes, the doctors give us little hope. But if you mean with your heart, then God is helping you now and every minute of your life.
So you see, Mr. Greenberg, it was made clear to me when I was a child that I would probably never be able to see, but that this was not to prevent me from gaining understanding and knowledge. The world I was to know would come to me through my fingertips, and through the sounds in the air, and the voices of my fellow men. And sometimes these voices could be very harsh.
Blinky!
Who are you speaking to?
Well, now, who do you think, Blinky?
My name is Harry.
Well, look, I want to call you Blinky.
My gravity will call me Harry.
Well, Blinky isn't so bad, you know. It just says what you are, that's all.
Oh.
Well, sure. Well, some kids we call fatso, or skinny, or carrot head. Well, stuff like that. So Blinky ain't really such a bad name.
Call me what you wish.
I never spoke to a blind boy before. That's why I stopped you now. But I've seen you around. I just never spoke to you.
Well, you're speaking to me now.
Yeah, you're right. You know, I don't believe what the other kids say.
What's that?
Well, that Blinky's a bad luck. They say they can cast an evil spell on a person.
Is that right?
Well, you can't, can you?
No. Anyway, the Bible warns against black magic, so I wouldn't do it even if I could.
But I bet you can tell the future. You got a special sense like that. Or like what's going to happen next year.
No, I don't think I can. At least I never tried. Have you?
No, I never tried. But I'm not blind.
Yes, I know that.
But I bet you can play an instrument. Music, you know.
Why is that?
Well, how do you expect to make a living, then?
I don't think I have much musical talent.
Well, then you won't make much money begging. Because you got to have an instrument or something. Well, maybe a monkey will do.
Maybe.
No, you don't sound like you want to be a beggar.
No, I'd rather be a teacher.
Teach the blind people, huh?
And the sighted people also.
Yeah, what about?
What the Bible means.
Say, you are sort of spooky. I think I'd better rub this rabbit's foot a few times just to be on the safe side.
Daddy, the boy was very cruel.
Well, sometimes life can be very cruel. But as a minister of the church, you can try to make it less so.
Maybe I shouldn't be a minister, because I wasn't thinking of the Lord when the boy was speaking to me. I was only thinking of socking him in the jaw.
Well, I could understand your feelings, son, but it wouldn't do any good.
I know, but I think it would make me feel better.
But think how much better it would make you feel if you could make this boy lose his prejudices about the blind.
How can I do that, Daddy?
By being his friend.
I don't know if he'd want to be my friend, whether I'd want to be his.
You can only tell by trying. Will you, son?
I'll try.
You can only reach your goal, son, by living in this world as it is, by not running away from it, by accepting it and, in a way, not accepting it. And as you have found courage, so you must help others to find courage, the blind of all kinds, to go from ignorance to knowledge.
Now, of course, Mr. Greenberg, I continue to experience the usual frustrations of the blind. For example, that because you cannot see, you must be kept apart from the seeing, sheltered out of sight. Or the fact that whatever you do is considered to be a great accomplishment merely because you have no vision. To be treated at times like an exhibit on display, and to be gently patted on the head. But all this is quite common, and now there are some who are trying to change these patterns. But my main interest was the study of the church and its antecedents. And once again, it was my father who suggested a particular approach.
Go to as many different religious services as you can, from a revival meeting on the streets of New York to high mass at St. Patrick's.
But, Dad, is this right? I mean, won't it affect the way I look at my own religion?
Certainly. It will show you that your beliefs are distinct and unique with their own special merit. But you will also learn that they are part of an ageless, worldwide human striving to know God.
Well, all right. I will try hard to learn about all the Christian denominations.
And be sure that you study Judaism.
The Jews?
Son, do you really seek the roots of your own religion?
Well, yes, I do. Then you must turn to the people of the Old Testament and learn their ways. For there you will find your own roots. So thereafter, I took advantage of every opportunity that came my way to dwell among the Jewish people in the city, to visit their homes, attend their synagogue services. And wherever I went, I heard echoes of the past which sounded to this day in my own liturgy.
And which made my own faith much more real to me. And my experiences convinced me that when I went to the seminary to study for the ministry, I would specialize in the field of exegetical theology, the study of sacred scripture, with special emphasis on Hebrew and the kindred language used at the beginning of the Christian era, Aramaic. But before I could do this, a serious obstacle had to be overcome.
Resh, Shin, Tav.
Resh, Shin, Tav.
Well, Harry, I'd say that you know the Hebrew alphabet backwards and forwards.
And with Hebrew being the way it is, I mean, everything reversed, that's the way you have to learn it.
Now, no time for frivolities.
All right.
Next, whole words.
All set, Ruth. What's the first?
The book. Ha-se-fer.
The book. Ha-se-fer.
The pen. Ha-et.
The pen, ha-et.
The word, ha-mi-la.
The word, ha-mi-la.
Time for review.
Check.
The book.
Ha, say fair.
The pen.
Ha, et.
The word.
Ha, me, la.
I read the book.
Hani, kore, et, ha, say fair.
I see the book.
Ani, roe, et, ha, say fair.
Perfect.
Oh, but that's the rub, Ruth. I don't see the book.
Even so, you are learning to speak Hebrew.
Thanks to you, Ruth, but for the work I wish to do, I mean, to study the beginnings of my religion, I must be able to read the sources in the original. I mean, no mediator, no translator between them and me.
I know how you feel. It seems every time that we blind people want to do anything, you always have to ask someone to do it for us. Gets me down sometimes.
Oh, now, Ruth, there's nothing in the world like doing for yourself.
But you know, Harry, there is an organization that may be able to help you solve your problem concerning Hebrew.
Kenu Melech Ha'olam Asher Bachar Binviim Tovim.
This boy, Harry, is being prepared to say the prayers in Hebrew for his bar mitzvah.
And it is all in Braille, Mr. Dubov?
Oh, yes. The Jewish Braille Institute sends out materials in Braille all over the country to regular Hebrew schools so the Jewish blind can learn in the same classes with their sighted classmates. Come over here, Harry. We'll hear what these folks are listening to.
Versuchte der klumpischen Tawirfel, und es warf mit mir das neunjurige Kaduches. Bei Kitze, wo sie doch achmar sind, Pani Schlumanichim, ich habe euch gelost, mein ganz bitter Herz im Pferden.
Did you understand that, Harry?
Oh, I know a little Yiddish, Mr. Dubov, but I'm afraid that recording is over my head.
Well, that's part of the great Yiddish classic, Tevye Demilfiger, by Shalom Aleichem, being read by Tzvi Skuler. Perhaps one day you'll wish to study Yiddish.
I think I better see how I make out with Hebrew first. That is, if I'm eligible to receive instructions from the Institute.
And why not, Harry? There are enough barriers in the world without us increasing their number.
Well, thank you, Mr. Dubov. And I'd like you to know that if I'm able to master Hebrew and Braille, I'll be very glad to help others who wish to do likewise.
And so that is why I now have an Episcopalian priest teaching me to read the Hebrew Bible in Braille.
That's it, Mr. Greenberg. Short, sweet, simple, and I assure you, undramatic. I don't think Hollywood would make a movie of it.
Father Sutcliffe, they should. They most certainly should.
Well, then I think they might have some trouble with the following sequence. You see, my hobby is amateur radio. And during the war, I even monitored some Nazi propaganda broadcasts for the government. But it also happened that through my hobby, I struck up a friendship with a Dick Fox of Bermuda, who was an amateur like myself.
CQ, CQ, calling CQ-20. This is VP-9F, Victor Peter 9 Fox in Bermuda, calling CQ-20 and standing by. Come in, please.
VP-9F, 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 Victor Peter 9 Fox. This is W2MIO, William 2 Mike Item Oboe, Brooklyn, New York, calling and standing by. What say, Dick?
W2MIO from VP-9F. Fine business, Harry. You're booming in here. How's the signal up there? Over.
You're coming in here loud as ever. Over.
By the way, how's your father coming along? W2MIO, VP9F.
VP9F, W2MIO. Well, the doctor says he needs a warmer climate for a while, so I may be seeing you soon. I think we're going to Bermuda. W2MIO, VP9F.
Be more than glad to see you and the family, Harry. Got my address? Over.
Yes, I have it. 73, Dick, and I'll be seeing you. VP9F from W2MIO.
73, Harry.
Well, Dick, it's just great to meet you after all our long-distance discussions.
Welcome to Bermuda, Harry.
You know, you'll just have to come over tonight and have dinner at the hotel with Mom and Dad. They're very anxious to meet you also.
I don't think I'll be able to make it.
Oh, well, we'll be here 2 weeks just to select another day.
I'm afraid that won't do either.
I don't understand. Don't you want to be invited over?
It's not that, Harry, but the hotel you happen to be staying at caters to the American tourist, and they have certain rules.
What kind of rules?
It's like this. You see, the airways we spoke over are sort of like God's country. So I couldn't tell you were blind or care whether you were or not. And you couldn't tell I was colored or care whether I was or not. But the Americans at that hotel of yours don't know too much about the customs of amateur radio operators. And they only see with their eyes. So they have rules against my color.
Oh. Well, that just doesn't make sense. Rules.
Take away their rules, Harry, and they feel unprotected, afraid.
Afraid of what?
The great unknown. Me. The colored peoples of the world.
You know, sometimes it seems that the whole world runs on fear. The sighted of the blind, Christian of Jew, the white of the colored, everyone of someone else.
Well, Harry, you've got your work cut out for you. You're going to be a minister. Go out and change the world.
I know. But how? With love? It's hard to find love when injustices are permitted to continue.
First, help to change the world with knowledge and understanding. And then I think you'll find that love is there.
Father Sutcliffe, while you spoke, I thought of what the Hebrew poet Solomon ibn Gabirol had once written. Not the eye, but the heart is blind.
Yeah. A little 12-year-old boy who happened to be blind said about the same thing recently. He said, "If I only had one wish, I wouldn't waste it on wishing I could see. I'd wish instead that everybody could understand one another. And how a person feels inside."
Father! Father! Are you going toward the subway?
I am, Mrs. Jackson.
Oh, fine. Well, then, how's Mr. Greenberg coming along?
I've just given my student his diploma. He's on his own now.
You don't say. Isn't science marvelous?
I see what you mean.
Well, I hope you don't think me nosy, but what will you do now, Father?
What do you mean?
Well, you've finished teaching Mr. Greenberg to read Hebrew Braille.
Oh, now, Mrs. Jackson, I have a few other things to keep me busy. The Episcopal Guild for the Blind, setting up a Bible survey course for the Hadley Correspondence School for the Blind. Lectures on biblical subjects?
Oh, it certainly is wonderful, Father Sutcliffe. I mean, well, you know, it certainly is wonderful.
Well, now why, Mrs. Jackson? Because I'm blind?
Oh, no, Father. I didn't mean it that way.
You know, Mrs. Jackson, sometimes I think I do what I do because I'm blind. And not in spite of it. For I believe I've learned a little about how the other person feels.
Well, which person is that, Father?
The one we try so hard not to see.
would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address, with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling, to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting the Honorable David G. Albert, State Senator from Mineola, Long Island. Senator Albert.
The play which we have just heard enacted, although involving just a few ordinary human beings and their personal problems, can well be compared to the world problems that confront this nation, and for that matter, the rest of the world. The fact that Father Sutcliffe, an Episcopalian priest, was able from childhood, although blind, to realize and understand that despite his physical disability, he was not to be prevented from gaining understanding and knowledge is indicative of what the world today needs, understanding and knowledge. True it is that this nation must stay powerful and militarily strong in armament in order to deter any possible aggressor against it or any other nation of the free world. But nevertheless, unless by our own actions and our own daily living, we can convince the rest of the world that we have that understanding and knowledge of their problems as well as our own, can we hope to gain and continue the leadership of free men everywhere? Surely we cannot hope to impress other people in different parts of the world with this image as long as segregation in our schools and discrimination in housing, employment, and in the professions are still with us. Until we are able to reduce these evils at least to an infinitesimal minimum, can we hope to gain the confidence and respect of all of the peoples of the world in order that our leadership can be truly regarded as a selfless one? How can we expect other people to accept our leadership without question and to believe that we are sincere and honest in our motives in seeking world freedom and democracy for all peoples when almost daily we hear of flagrant violations of laws against humanity because our own institutions do not recognize that every man who is created in the image of his maker is entitled to equal treatment regardless of race, creed, color, or national origin? Not until all of us learn to live together and to recognize that each is his neighbor's equal, and vice versa, and that dignity of man and the recognition that interfaith and brotherhood and equality are not mere words, but represent a way of life whereby ethical and moral principles are recognized, can we hope or expect that our leadership will be accepted, not because of what we say, but because of what we believe, and the manner in which we follow the principles which we preach, namely freedom and independence, and liberty and understanding for all men everywhere. Only by setting this example here in America can this goal be achieved.
Thank you, Senator Albert. Our Eternal Light drama today, Primer for the Sighted, was written by Erwin Gonchak and was presented in observance of Brotherhood Week. Cantor Robert H. Siegel sang the liturgical music. William Redfield was featured as Father Sutcliffe. Maurice Tarplin was Mr. Greenberg.
Jim Campbell was the father. Bryna Rayburn, the woman. P.J. Sidney, Dick. Mary Lou Foster, the young Harry Sutcliffe. Roger DeCoven, Mr. Dubov. Ronnie Gates, the boy. And Patricia Bruder, Ruth. This is Vic Rovey. Our program was directed by George Voutsas. Portions of this program were pre-recorded. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America.
This is the NBC Radio Network.